job, buddy. All right. Well, thanks for coming out tonight. I know it's a threat of possible bad weather or whatnot, hoopla. It's not here, so thanks for coming. I hope you guys came ready with your brains on. You got your nap because we're going to play a huge game of Pictionary. Nobody seems excited about that. Logan's excited, a couple other people. All right, no, not really. I'm actually going to try to draw a picture later. May not turn out. This is just the only board we have that's on wheels that we could move, so that's why it's so big. And but find in your Bible Colossians chapter 2. That's where we're going to be in just a moment. And so I don't forget to tell you later, I'm actually going to be reading from the New Living Translation, which corresponds fairly closely to King James, New King James, all that other stuff. Just kind of gives a little more in-depth as we read, not as much as the Amplified, but just a little bit more. So we're going to go to Colossians chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 6. It says this, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to live in obedience to him. Let your roots grow down into him and draw up nourishment from him, so you will grow in faith, strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. Let your lives overflow with thanksgiving for all he has done." Let's pray. Father, we love you. We are grateful and thankful for the opportunity to come to your house. And we just pray that you be with your word as it goes forth, that you allow our hearts to absorb it and to apply it to our everyday lives as we take steps to be more obedient to you and we take steps to live lives that are more pleasing for you. So, Father, again, we thank you for safety today and just getting here and there. And we ask for safety on travels home. We love you, and we ask all things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so in verse 6, it has a phrase, and it says that you are to continue to live in obedience to him. So it implies that you've already been obedient to him. And if you look in the beginning of that verse, it tells us how we've been obedient to him. Anybody see that? By accepting him as Savior, we took that first step of obedience and we accepted him as Savior. So it says continue to do that. Continue to have obedience to him. So I want to look at the word obedient. Some of us may have different definitions. And I believe it was in our Sunday school class one week, Pastor Matt was teaching. And we were talking about idols in our lives. And one of the things that were brought up was well-behaved children. And when we're in public, we want our children to be well-behaved, and we want them to be obedient. Well, some people may have different definitions of obedient to some. Sorry if I blind anybody with this. To some, it may be that they're perfect, proper, sit there, and to others, it's just that they don't destroy anything. They may be crazy, just don't destroy it. It's fine. But we're going to look to see what our friend Webster says about the word obedience. Says that is an act or an instance of obeying, or the second one, the quality or state of being obedient. Did you really catch that second part of the second definition? The quality or state of being obedient. I like that one. It's not just an act like the first one. We can all put on a show, we can all act. But to have the state of obedience, to have the attitude of obedience is a different thing. Because if our attitude is right, then we're always going to want to be obedient. So, we as Christians, should we act obedient or should we have a state, have a quality, have an attitude of obedience? Can you just imagine if we had an attitude of obedience all the time to Christ? There'd be no need for financial drives, for missions, for any special project need. There would be an abundance of missionaries. And as your children's pastor, there would be an abundance of children's workers that I'd have to beat off with a stick. That would be in a perfect world if we all had this state, we all had this mindset of obedience to do what God's calling us to do. So we know that we're supposed to be obedient. We know that we're supposed to have obedience and continue to live in obedience. But how do we do that? It goes on to tell us in verse 7 how we can accomplish that. It says, let your roots grow down into him and draw up nourishment from him. So you will grow in faith, strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. Let your lives overflow with thanksgiving for all he has done. So let your roots grow down into him. That phrase, let your roots grow down into him. Seriously, this is where you will participate. We're not going to draw yet. But give me some examples of how your roots, you can let your roots grow down into him. Anybody? All right, studying the word. Prayer. I get those answers in junior church too. Anything else? Say what? Okay. Fellowship? Worship? Witnessing, evangelism. All right, all good things. There's many, many different ways that we can take and let your roots grow down into him. And if you come to church and you do a lot of those things, it's great, but you have to have that personal Bible study, devotion time with Christ, that alone time to really let your roots grow down into him. So let's look at a tree. Some of you probably already know this, but we're gonna look at it anyway. So a tree, as it matures, as it grows, so do the roots. But the roots, they go down and they go out. So depending on how big your tree is or how little your tree is, depends on how far down they go and how far out they go. Some of you may have had issues with trees in your yards before. Maybe they've grown into the foundation of your house or come up through your yard or run it over with your lawnmower or whatever. But they go out, and the whole purpose of them is to get proper support for the tree and nourishment that is needed for the tree. So this is where I will attempt. I'm not a drawer. I like stick figures. I like easy stuff. But basically, it's kind of like this. You have the ground. Woo! Grass. Tree. Is that good? Can you guys tell it's a tree or is it too small? Tell it's a tree. What's that? Yeah. All right. See? That's what I like, Dale. You're being honest. That's good. All right. So, we'll use black for the roots. All right. So, basically, what it's saying is, you know, you may have roots this way and that way and this way and that way and all the way out here and down and sideways and across. And they're everywhere. Sometimes they go above ground and travel through ground. But you have this whole system of roots that's underneath the tree to support it. So like a foundation. So you have a foundation underneath the... Hey, I'm on TV. You have a foundation to support your tree, to give it nourishment. And for those of you that like plants, I'd rather just have a yard full of grass and no plants. But that's a different conversation. In the world of plants and trees and all of this stuff, the top of your tree, on how far out it is, the edges is what they call the drip off zone, and what drips off of there is a lot of the nutrients and things that go back down into those roots that the tree then soaks back up. So it's important that they have this system, this foundation of support underneath them. Because without that, what is shown to the world would not be able to stand. So you see how that relates to us as Christians? If we don't have a proper foundation, if we don't have a system that we can be supported in and loved in, then what shows to the world can't stand. We need to be obedient to Christ. That's all a drawing you get. Sorry, Dale, that my proportions are off, but next time I'll try harder. Just kidding. But it's interesting fact. They don't just go straight down. They go deep and wide. Now, how many of you just started singing a song in your head? Yeah, there we go. We're not going to sing it because you don't want to hear me sing it. But it is interesting how they go deep and wide. So in our rooting of ourselves in Jesus, we not only need to go deep, but we need to go wide too. So what's that look like? Well, it kind of looks like this. In verse 7, it also says this. So you will grow in faith, strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. The use of the two very intense words here to show great importance, strong and vigorous by the ones that you were taught. But what I really want to look at is this phrase that says the truth you were taught. It implies that there were people teaching them. It implies that there were people discipling them, mentoring them, guiding them, showing them truth and how they should live. It implies that they had people investing into their lives in many different ways. So today, I'm telling you that we need to do the same thing. We need to have a multi-generations come together to disciple each other, mentor each other, guide each other, so that we may be strong and vigorous in the faith for Jesus. It's important to have that. You know, there's a vast majority of you are older than me in here, except for maybe a handful of people. Who are you mentoring? Who are you discipling? Who are you investing into? And think about who invested into you. Can you think back and say, oh, this person. And for the guys in here, the whole men's ministry that Pastor Matt's working on, that's kind of where we're going. For guys to build meaningful relationships, to disciple and mentor and grow together. Right? All right. Just want to make sure I didn't just lie. All right. But it's going to be great. It's going to be fun for us guys. Sorry, girls. You get to do all kind of fun stuff. Spa night. Don't even invite us. We got nails. You guys can laugh. No, everybody's... church, you're not allowed to laugh. Okay. Brings up this point. Let your lives overflow with thanksgiving for all he has done. Up until this point, we've looked at things that we can do to benefit ourselves. We need to grow our roots. We need to get into Jesus. We need to be obedient to him. And the last part of that, let your lives overflow with thanksgiving for all he has done is for the benefit of those around us. You ever been around anybody that's just so thankful and happy to be alive or to be a Christian or to just be? Kind of makes you a little happy too. Their lives are overflowing with thanksgiving. So we just came out of the season of Thanksgiving. We just came out of a time where we got to celebrate what God has done for us in our lives, what he's given us, how he's provided for us. We got to spend time with family. Hopefully you did. And then we look at, in the midst of all of that, this whole Black Thursday, Friday, and so on and so forth, because it's not just one day now. It's like the whole week. And you have people that aren't content. You have people that don't seem very thankful. They're kind of crazy. There's multiple websites out there where you can see incident reports and videos and people getting stunned and tasered and all this over a silly TV or a blender. The one report that I read today, thus far this year, it shows one death and 15 injuries, major injuries. Over what? Nothing. We're supposed to be thankful. We're supposed to be people that are thankful for the things that God has done in our lives. And yet we're worried about these little minuscule things. I'm not against a good deal by any means. I have a motto that some may not like, that some may be against, but if it's free, it's for me. Okay? I like it. I'll deny it a couple times. You want a cookie? No, I'm good. You sure you don't? Okay, I'll take it. You know, that's me. I like a good deal. There's nothing wrong with getting a good deal. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. There's nothing wrong with doing any of that. But the point that I'm trying to make is this, in a broad sense, is that people in general are just not thankful. The vast majority of people that we come in contact with, that we deal with on a daily basis, they're just not thankful for what they have, for what they may have in their life via family or whatever it is. They're just not thankful. We always want more and more, and when we get more, we want more and more, and then when we get more of that, we want more and more. We're not content to just say, okay, God, we're here. This is what you've given us. We're thankful. We're overflowing to other people around us so they can see that we're thankful. And through us, they can see that only thing important to us is you. Well, so we have to look, okay, why are most people not thankful? And most of you already know the answer. It's because our sin nature. It's because this nature that we have inside of us. It makes it hard for us to want to do the right thing. And it's not easy. It's not easy to overcome that and to beat your sin nature. But I want to look at verses 11 through 12. And it kind of talks about this here. It says, when we came to Christ, we were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. It was a spiritual procedure, the cutting away of our sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to a new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. Now think about that for a second. When we came to Christ, he cut away our sinful nature. And I want you to think about this next question. If he cut it away, why do we try to sew it back on? Why do we try to take it back? Because he took it away. We can trust in the power of Christ to overcome. That's pretty cool to me. That the power, the same power that lives inside of us, is the same power that raised Christ from the grave. You guys know that? You don't have to talk. A head nod will do. So when you're dealing with something, when you're struggling with obedience and whether or not to put your sin nature back on or to trust in the power that saved you from hell, just remember the power that is within inside of you is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. And with that, you don't have to try to take back on your old sin nature. You're free from that. You're free from sin. Verse 13, we'll start there and we'll read down a couple verses, says this. It says, you were dead because of your sins and because your sin nature was yet not cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charge against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Folks, we're free from sin, from rules. We are free in Christ. Pastor Mark's been doing a series and he's been talking about that. He's been talking about how we are free in Christ. We're not bound by all these rules and regulations and legalism and all of this. And one of the most cool ways that I've heard it put is this, is that we're not free to go out and do whatever we want to do and use the excuse of grace, but we're freed from ourselves. We're freed from ourselves. That's the way we have to look at it. So in conclusion, we all need to find strength to grow our roots down into Christ and build a foundation while building meaningful relationships with others, while mentoring them, while discipling, while guiding, while knowing, all while knowing that we are free in Christ because of the spiritual cutting away of our sin nature. We have the power to overcome. And so we can take the knowledge that he gives us and knowing that we're free from that, start moving forward. Start going forward with our relationships with others. Start getting deep and building your roots in Christ. Because if you decide to just accept Christ as your Savior, and all you have is a little bit of foundation, pretty soon it's going to die out. Pretty soon that tree's not going to be standing anymore. Maybe you've had that problem if you deal with plants or trees or whatever the case may be. You plant something and it just may not take. It looks good for a little bit while it's planted. All of a sudden it just starts dying and you don't know why. It's because you can't see what's happening underneath. So we as Christians, if we're not building our relationship with Christ, if we are not growing our roots in him, eventually we're going to start falling apart too. You're not going to lose your salvation. God ensures us of that. But you won't have the relationship with him and others that he has planned for you if you decide not to get rooted in him. So as we go into this week ahead of us, will you make the changes necessary in your life to embrace the fact that you need to get deeper, that you need to get wider? Maybe there's been somebody that's come into your path that just needs a little bit of encouragement and needs somebody to take hold of them and give them a little guidance and mentorship. But you were just too busy. And so you just kind of talked to them and then pushed them to the side. Go back to that person. Take a step. Maybe you're uncomfortable with doing that. But folks, if we don't grow deeper and wider in Christ and in our fellowship, what's going to happen? So that's my challenge. What's in your life that you need to kind of say, okay, you know what? This needs to go to the side so I can take steps to go deeper, so I can take steps to go wider. It's going to be different for all of us. Some of us may have some of the same struggles. Some of us may not. But the fact remains, we all have times in our life where we try to reach out and pull that sin nature back. But God cut it off. It's not us anymore. A new creation in him. So that's my challenge. Hopefully you will take it and be able to use any part of it. And if for anything you have learned one thing tonight, that I am not an artist. Never ask me to draw you anything, because you can just ask a 5-year-old and it'll come out better. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you. We are grateful. We are thankful that you first loved us, that you sent your son to come and die on a cross for us, that we may even have the opportunity to get deeper and wider with you, that we have the opportunity to build meaningful relationships and mentor younger generations to grow up and be strong, foundationally sound believers of Jesus. And may we as followers of Jesus be be willing to take the steps necessary in our lives to grow closer to you, to do the things that you want us to do, to be obedient to you continually. God, I pray for the one here that needs mentorship or needs guidance. I pray that you bring the right person alongside of them to show them your love and your grace. Maybe they're feeling like they've messed up one too many times, or nobody even cares because they're young. Father, I pray that you just guide them to the right person. And when that person is found, that person will have the courage and boldness to take a step to mentor, to disciple. We thank you for the men and women of this church that do that so well, that reach out to many people, that love on them, that show them your love. We are blessed for people that want to be obedient to you. But God, we always have room for improvement. I need to improve in every area of my relationship with you. And if we're never improving, then we're going backwards. So God, I pray that we can take this and apply it in a meaningful way. I love you, and I ask all these things in Jesus' name.